Okay, this is January 22nd, 2020. Just want to welcome everyone to the Enriching Gifts International Education Call. We have our guest tonight, Mr. Ronald K. Schneider himself. He's going to be educating us on the topic of discussion this evening, and I'll let him share that with you. But Ron is an amazing individual. That's why we're on this call, and those of you that are listening to the recording of this, you're going to be blown away, in my opinion, by the information that's shared. So without further ado, I want to welcome Mr. Ron Schneider. Welcome to the call, Ron.
Thank you, Dover, and welcome everyone else on the call. I am just fired up tonight. I'm really excited to be talking about this tonight because every single year what comes around is the cold and flu season. Every single year we get this, oh my gosh, dire pandemic, the end of the world's coming on national television. And I know that if anybody has watched TV this last week, just in the last 2 days since Monday morning, even with all the impeachment trial stuff going on, I have seen no less than 47 newscasts talking about coronavirus and the big potential pandemic that's coming. Well, all of you guys, I know there's a lot on the line that have listened to me for literally decades. And let's go all the way back to avian flu. And then the SARS, sudden acute respiratory syndrome. And then there was H1N1. Then there was H1N5. Now we have coronavirus that's out of China again. You know, I'm going to just tell you guys, this is all just a bunch of nonsense and BS. As of tonight, over 600 cases have been recorded worldwide. 546 in the country of China where they're saying it originated from. There's only 7 deaths. As far as this morning, there was 5. As far as this evening, there's 7 deaths. 7! Okay, well, death is inevitable for all of us. So I'm not going to just say it's not a consequence or importance, because it is. But we're all going to die. And I just want to always remind everybody that this is all about the AMA and the flu virus and profits and dollars and cents. The reality of it is, by the time this whole thing goes by and this and that, there's only one person that's actually been contracted the coronavirus in the United States. So that's as of today. So I just want to remind everybody, because they always like to gin up and rev up and, oh, get your vaccinations. If you don't, it's going to kill you. And this, it never does. It never, ever does. I can count on 2 hands going all the way back to H1N1, SARS, the avian flu, everybody else. I can go count on literally 2 hands the total amount of people that died from all of that put together in the last decade here in America. So don't buy into all this nonsense that they're peddling on all these news channels. You know, or wear the mask. Don't even board a plane without looking like some silly diseased idiot. You know, it's always a good idea to just wear a painter's mask, something to cover up your face when you go travel on planes, because there's international people on there. It's just basic common sense. But don't do it because you're so worried about this whole coronavirus thing. Just do it because you're willing to just protect yourself and protect others from you if you do have a cold or a sniffler temperature. It's just a good idea to protect other people from you as well as you want to be protected yourself from other people that might have colds and flus. This is, after all, the cold and flu season. And just like Dr. Ann Marie, Fox News health consultant, every Sunday, I want to go remind people on this line and everybody I talk to about a few facts about the influenza and cold and flu season in America. The CDC, which is the same entity that is promoting all of this pandemic crap on TV, CDC reports every single year in America, and even Dr. Ann Marie talks about this at least 2 to 3 different times throughout the cold and flu season on Fox News Sunday morning's Health Hour. At least there's 38,000 people every single year that die from the common cold. 38,000 here in America alone. Now, that's not complicated. That's not some flu pandemic. That's just the common cold. 38,000 people. And here we're worrying about 7 people worldwide that have died. That's how crazy and outblown this is. And I guess the impeachment is just getting so boring that media has to find something else to gin up and get their ratings. And coronavirus, I'm telling you, is not one of them. And don't be rushing out to get your cold and flu shot either. Because decades ago, well, not even decades, it was about 8 years ago, they had a German virologist, that's someone who specializes in viral vaccines and virology, by identifying viruses in general. He's one of the tops in the world. He's out of Germany. And they had him on CNN, you know, that news program that's just so up and all full of integrity and never fibs or gets a story wrong. But anyway, they got this one right. They had him on there, and they interviewed him. He was in Germany. It was an international call broadcast. And this was back when the avian flu and the SARS started coming out, and that was before the H1N1, H1N5, and all that was before all of that. But they asked him all about viral vaccinations, how safe are they? And I'm here to tell you, I'll go back to that 38,000 people that die every year in America, according to the CDC and the Institutes of Health. 38,000, over half of those, about 25,000 is the actual number, 24 to 25,000 of those people that die, literally die within 48 hours after receiving the cold and flu shot. And it's mostly older people, younger adolescent children or babies, because their immune system just doesn't handle the mutated virus that actually just got injected in their body. And how many people... And everybody needs to think about this, not only for yourself, your children, your grandchildren, for anybody that you even care about. How many people go to the doctor and get their immune system tested before they have some substance? By the way, there's not a vaccination or a syringe in the world where I've ever seen the ingredients that's in that vial and in that needle that they're going to inject in your body. I've never seen an ingredient list on a vaccination yet. It just says flu vaccine, avian flu, SARS this, rubella vaccine. It doesn't give you the contents. And common sense would tell me this comes from a government. This is our government that's pushing right behind all of this. And since when has our government ever had any integrity at all and done what's best for the human consumer or the citizen in the United States above its own agenda? No, not as far back as I can remember. There's always going to be more in it for government than it'll ever be for the citizens of this country. So this virologist, tops in the world, this CNN reporter asked him, would you give yourself a flu shot? Do you think they're safe? And he says, for one, they're not tested enough to be safe or otherwise. They're just developed by some pharmaceutical drug company that's going to profit billions of dollars if they can peddle enough fear. And two, they won't give you any studies, because then they'd have to release the contents or the ingredients of their syringe or their vaccination. They're not going to do that. So what are they hiding? That was his exact words. So what are all these companies hiding? Because you can patent the ingredients, you can patent the process, so what are they hiding? Why won't they disclose this? And they don't. Because if they did, there's not a person in this world that would allow anybody to inject that inside their body. There is arsenic in there. There is a whole bunch. There is mercury in there. There's a stabilizer. These are all carcinogenic and toxic to the human body. And I know of compounding pharmacists for Pfizer Drug Company at the corporate level. They'll even tell you. In fact, one of them left the company because his conscience wouldn't allow him to keep doing that, to put that kind of a product out in the marketplace. And good for him. He's a good friend of mine. But I've already known this stuff for decades. So I just want everybody that's on the call tonight, just don't go running out and running around in fear thinking you're going to get the coronavirus. It's not going to happen. Just like the SARS, just like avian, just like H1N1, HN5, all that other stuff, it's going to come and go, and there might be 2 to 3 people that die from it. Well, that's going to be pretty wonderful. When you put it in perspective that over 38,000 people just in America alone die from complications because of the cold and flu every year. Every year. Not because of all of this weird strain stuff. No. Just the common cold. So I just wanted to kind of get that out of the way tonight and get it off my chest, because I've been steaming about it since Sunday. And, you know, one thing I guarantee you on these calls, you're going to get facts. You're not going to get hype and a bunch of nonsense and BS. So I just wanted to clear all of that up, put it all into perspective, and kind of tone way, way down this fear-mongering that they're trying to perpetuate on national television, especially to Enrich and Gifts, my family. All of you people on these call I regard as close friends and family. So they can do it to the rest of the citizens of the U.S., but they're not going to do it to anybody I'm associated with. So that's the first thing. And if you got any questions or comments about that, wait till we go into a live open call, and then you can go ahead and do that. Second thing, I want to talk tonight about endometriosis. I had three calls this last week, and I think it was one that called me on Sunday. So I thought, well, I better talk a little bit about this. This isn't a topic that gets much attention. It is becoming a hell of a problem, and it affects women. Luckily, men don't get endometriosis. We don't have a uterine wall that hardens. What endometriosis is, it's a hardening. It actually can build up scar tissue. If you scrape the cervix and the uterus enough, it'll build up scar tissue. And what it does, it hardens. And when that hardens, it's extremely painful for a woman. If you think a menstruation is bad, that just complicates it times three times as far as the pain and the excess of blood loss goes during a menstruation cycle. Because in order for the body to regulate itself from those hormones, progesterone and estrogen, you actually have to have permeable flexible tissue. And when that hardens, it doesn't matter what the hormonal balance is, which one's high or which one's low, you're going to bleed most of the time, because it cannot contract it or expand itself to close off the bleeding pathways in the uterus. And a lot of times that leads to hysterectomies because I feel so bad because somebody asked me, they said, isn't there anything nutritionally or naturally we can actually do for this? And I said, well, what's your gynecologist telling you? They said they can't do anything for it. And you're right. Their drugs can't do anything for it, and neither does nutrition. And my daughter, bless her soul, she was one of the people that had to go have a hysterectomy because of endometriosis. I had one where I was actually engaged to over in Hawaii, and another one I was dating at different periods in my life a few decades ago. They both had endometriosis and had to have hysterectomies. And like I said, I got three calls just in the last week about that. And I've known several people, I bet you I've known probably 25 to 28 women over the last 15 years that have had to have hysterectomies because of severe endometriosis. So that's, like I say, you can take antioxidants, you can take the aloe. Aloe really slows down the progression of the condition, the Aloace Max. But there's really nothing you're going to be able to do medically or nutritionally to actually reverse endometriosis. You can slow it down, and the one thing I would caution everybody that has it, try to avoid the scraping, because that's actually going to create scar tissue, and it becomes even more and more irreversible once you start that scraping process and getting rid of that hardened tissue on the outside. It's going to relieve a little bit of the pain and stuff, but it's not going to slow down your progression of that condition. It's not a disease. It's actually a condition. And it is hormonally driven, and that's the unfortunate part about it. They try to, medically, they try to give you different hormones to suppress your estrogen levels, and you can only do that for so long before your whole body starts reacting to a abnormally suppressed estrogen and stuff. So, especially if you're a younger person, they're not trying to put you in a menopause. So that was the other thing I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, was the menopause. And if anybody has any questions about that, again, just hold them for just a couple more minutes. And then the third thing, I got a text on my phone from James. James is one of our really ardent every single week listeners. because he gets such a great education, and it kind of backs up everything that he suspects about everything that's going on medically and even in the nutrition world down in Australia. So I got this text about this brand newly discovered T lymphocyte in the human body. Science has discovered magically, wow, it blows my mind. All of these decades, all these hundreds and hundreds of years of science and medicine, especially the last 100 years anyway, that we've got a brand new immune system killer cancer cell discovered by accident by British scientists. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not a new discovery. Might be by accident because Britain didn't know anything about it. Professor Pagel, now I want you guys to put on your memory caps. Let's see how well you listen to my calls each week. Because if you remember, probably about 7-8 years ago when I started talking about the sterols, the glucosides, really getting real deep into what a glucoside is, how it functions, and specifically what particular immune system cells that nutrient interacts with. And if you remember, I said years and years, probably about a decade ago, Professor Carl Pagel has already discovered that the human body's immune systems cells have never truly been activated to full functionality. They never have, since caveman days. And why do we know that? Why did he know that and discover that? Because he discovered there's 6 enzymes within T lymphocytes. There are more than one T lymphocytes. There's about 26 different types of T helper killer cells, but it's just categorized as a big category called T lymphocytes. He identified 6 enzymes that carry out proliferation and modulation functioning of the human T lymphocyte cells, regardless of which particular cell it is. And that glucoside is only found in a sprout. So humanity has never lived from sprouts. Now, caveman, maybe possibly, but he lived mostly from berries and plants, and they foraged a lot. They didn't really live off of a sprout-based diet. But anybody past the 11th, maybe the 8th century, they definitely didn't live off of a sprout diet. Even the monks and all of these religious people and stuff, they didn't live off of a sprout diet. More earthly, but not a sprout diet. And the only place you're going to be able to get enough glucosides to do any kind of immune modulating benefit is from sprouts. And so everybody already knows about the Sterilmax and stuff, but I want to get back to the T lymphocytes. And one of the things that Professor Pagel and I had actually discussed, and I sort of remember the recording that I actually had with him and the photos that I took in his office at Natal Medical Center, and the video that I took where the entire campus was uprising because an American was there in their compound. And I've got him in video chasing my police escort off of the campus out the back window. They're all in white robes jumping up and down and chanting, and it's a scary moment for me because they barely got me out of that building. But it goes back to America wants to blame Africa for starting the HIV/AIDS epidemic through gay lifestyles and this and that. And none of that is true, or at least it's not accurate anyway. The HIV virus was caused by a vaccine that was supposed to use pig protein tissue as its protein source, and they used a monkey instead. And that was a Belgian scientist. That happened in 1953 or 56. And it all started, they gave it to a tribe to try it out. And for that tribal leader, he got a television set. They didn't even have electricity. And then somebody gave him a camera. And so that's how the whole 8, and there's a 6-hour documentary on all of this stuff. And that's neither here nor there because you hardly ever hear anything about HIV or AIDS. But getting back to this T lymphocyte, so Professor Pagel, he had already known that there were T lymphocytes that had more receptor openings. And those receptor openings is what engulfs or brings in fluids and nutrients, as well as it expels waste. And so the British scientists are saying, oh, it's got these extra claws or extra arms. That's totally BS. It's an extra receptor site is what it is. and they actually have large receptors, so they extend beyond the membrane of the cell. And that's how they're able to catch themselves onto cancer cells. So with all the stuff that they want to talk about and all the hoopla and the hypity-hypity-hypity-hype stuff, and great for them, it's a new discovery. And man, you're right, colon cancer, lung cancer, brain cancer, just about any kind of cancer exists, they're having great success at getting rid of it. Well, we've already had that success for well over 10 years just within Enriching Gifts. Why and how? Because we're able to enlarge those T lymphocytes. We're able to increase the efficiency of functioning of those immune system cells because of glucoside nutrients, because of the enzymes that keep the bloodstream clean and free from immune complex proteins. So we've been doing this for over a decade, decade and a half. So I did, like I said, I'm not trying to put it down. Anything that's going to bring better and more clear awareness on the things that are available through natural therapy, through some of this immunology and immunotherapy, hey, all the better, because we're saving lives and that's what's most important. It's not who really gets the credit or something that's newly discovered, really was already talked about and been working with for over 15. That's all irrelevant. But I just want people to understand now more and more, slowly but surely, immunotherapy was a great big buzzword back about 10 years ago. And I will go back all the way back to 1994. So we're looking at 25 years ago in my case. But working with Germany, working with South Africa, 94 through 2002, specifically 95, 6, 7, and 8 at Natal Medical Center, cancer treatment has come a long way. And now even medicine is getting into the fact that they realize they've got to do something to influence the human immune system's natural immunity functioning T lymphocyte in order to deal effectively and have a high percentage of success with cancer. So those are the things that I wanted to kind of bring everybody up to speed on, making them aware. So that's what I have for tonight's called over. And if you want to go ahead and open it up for live conferencing, we can go ahead and do that now. And like I said, anybody that's got any questions, please feel free to ask them, because there's no such thing as a dumb question. And these are all three really, really important categories to talk about. Endometriosis, the coronavirus that's plague and pandemic, this hysteria everywhere, which is crazy, and then also this newly discovered T lymphocyte within human immune system cell functioning.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you, Ron. That was amazing. So what we want to do is, anyone that has a question, if you could hit *6 to unmute yourself and then ask Ron your question. So who has a question for Ron? And if you're speaking, we can't hear you because you're muted out. So unmute your phone or hit *6 on your keypad if you mute it out that way.
And it doesn't need to be a question. Even if you just want to make a comment, that's fine. But hopefully I hear some kind of feedback from you, because that not only coronavirus, but the T lymphocyte discovery, those are pretty big deals. I mean, I would think that everybody would have at least one question to some aspect of either one of those.
Ron, just I'll get us kicked.
Oh, go ahead.
This is Karen. Again, I'm from California, but I wanted to make a comment about endometriosis.
Yes.
Years ago, when one of my friends had this issue, it was in the 90s, I remember doing a Google search or internet search, which was pretty, not as informative back then. But it did comment on the use of tampons, and I just wanted your input on that. And so, I personally have never used one. My mother never used one. Neither one of us have ever had any kind of feminine issue, and my mother passed away at 75.
Correct.
So I just wanted your comment on that.
Well, I'm a big believer that the insertion of a tampon is actually one of the big contributing factors to this endometriosis crisis we're now seeing start to manifest itself throughout America. We're one of the very few countries in the world that actually promote at a very young age the use of those insertable tampons and things like that. And that's going to absorb the blood, so it does what it's supposed to do. But unfortunately, it also dries out the tissue of the uterus. And that's actually where a lot of this oxidation and hardening is coming from, because there's no fluid there to keep it moist. And so that's just kind of my opinion. Like I said, I'm not a doctor at all, but I definitely, it all makes sense to me. Because if you look at statistics and kind of follow the emergence of endometriosis, it's really an epidemic today. It really is. It's like diabetes. It's like, holy cow, you hardly ever heard about that. Now you can't even talk to 10 women without four of them having the symptoms of all of this stuff and everything. So it is a problem, but I'm not a big advocate of tampons. You know, they got the pads that you can just leave out of your vagina and all of that. Just wear them in your underwear. And those are, they're just like a diaper, but they're more than adequate. You're not going to have blood dripping down your leg or anywhere else or any embarrassing moments if you get the proper pads to fit you. And especially if you know about how much blood loss you have during your cycles. So that's about what I got to say about that. But yeah, tampons, they shouldn't even have them on the market anymore. Because like I said, pads do such a good job anymore. There's no reason for tampons to even be in the market.
Thank you.
Yes. Someone else had a question. That was, go ahead.
Also regarding endometriosis. So at this point, really, there is nothing that a person can do. However, you did mention like super antioxidants, maybe aloes, to
right.
slow down the process. But it sounds right. like it only slows down the process, but it doesn't stop it. So the process just continues?
Correct. Yeah, unfortunately, I really talked a lot with my daughter's gynecologist when she was going through her thing, a lot of her friends, and she's only 27, 30. She's about 35, 36 now, but this all happened about 5-6 years ago when she was just in her 29, 30 years of age. And it really created miscarriages. She was unable to carry a normal pregnancy several different times. Then they went to in vitro fertilization, went through that whole process multiple times. And fortunate for her and me, she was finally able to get pregnant and carry a full pregnancy with my grandson, Corbin. But right after that, it was so severely bad, she had to make a choice of trying to have another baby or just deal with that excruciating pain every day. And the only thing that we found that would help slow it down a little bit and keep that tissue softened was the Aloes Max and the Metabolic Complete. That's our highest, most broad-spectrum antioxidant. And that did help. Especially after the scrapings. She saw longer intervals in between her scrapings when she did take the supplements versus when she didn't. But there's nothing that medicine has that can do it. There's nothing that I really have that can stop it or even reverse it. But you can significantly slow it down. So that's just the honest answers with you. And if there's something out there, I certainly don't know of it, never heard of it. And I've really researched a lot into it.
Okay. So one other question in that regard also. I read some information that indicated that iodine deficiency may somehow contribute to it. Tests had been done, and I don't know where the tests were done, but tests had been done, and it showed that when endometriosis was present, there was a low iodine. There was a deficiency of iodine. Have you heard anything in that regard?
Absolutely. That's part of the research I ran into. That's absolutely true. And then before you even go to that, remember I was talking about hormones, the progesterone, the estrogen levels. Okay, so let's go back to the thyroid. Your thyroid conducts body temperature, but it is a hormone. And what's the main nutrient that feeds that organ and gland? Iodine. So when you're low in iodine, your body temperature is going to be low, which affects every single cell in the human body. All processes get affected when the cellular body starts to lower its temperature below 98, 99 degrees. And you don't have to lower it down by much more than probably a degree or two before you see significant alterations and changes in the natural functioning process of the human body. You're 96, 97, even 96, you're low enough to where you're just literally right on the cusp of having severe thyroid problems. That's not only going to affect your energy levels, your cell functioning, your ability to reproduce cells, as well as carry out normal functioning processes. Everything is slowed way down. And so iodine definitely would affect that. And in that aspect, it would directly or indirectly affect that whole endometriosis thing, along with a whole host of other things. Not just endometriosis that you're going to see that's linked, because endometriosis, again, is linked to your menstruation cycle, which is all about hormones. And again, you start lowering the body temperature, that's going to affect your hormone levels and affect your body's ability to maintain a higher level of hormones or even create a higher level of hormones, which would actually change body chemistry, and now your body starts doing something it normally wouldn't do because of those higher levels of a certain hormone. So, yeah, I did come across and read that some stuff about that, and that all made perfect sense to me because I can follow the dots, 1, 2, 3, 4, and link that together where it definitely would affect that condition of endometriosis with lower iodine levels because it affects the entire body's temperature and cell structure.
Okay. So is there a specific level of iodine that should be found in one system? And I guess you'd have to take tests, medical tests, to
Correct.
Determine.
You'd have to go in and take thyroid tests and look at your T2, T4s. But the thing that I would do is because you can so easily do this, and everybody should write this down if you haven't done this yet. One of the best and most effective ways to tell whether your body has enough iodine, you don't have to go measure iodine levels. What you do is you can measure your body temperature, because your thyroid is the main gland in the body that utilizes iodine as its primary nutrient. And anybody can do this. Guys can do this. Women can do this. This isn't for a menstruation cycle. This is just to see whether you've got a healthy functioning thyroid. And that's to take 12 body temperature readings in 6 days. So you're going to take 2 a day. And the first reading has to be taken before you get out of bed and start becoming active, doing anything in the morning. So have that temperature and get it digital. It's so easy to do. And just go ahead and have a piece of paper by your bed, or on your kitchen table, because that's where you frequent more often than anything else. But make sure you have a notepad, and this has to be done accurately each day. If you're off by more than an hour, half hour before, half hour after, in your afternoon reading, then it's an invalid test. Throw it away, and you got to start all over. So pick a week where you can actually be really consistent about taking your body temperature. And like I said, the first reading has to be taken before you go to the bathroom or get up and start walking around in the morning. And then the afternoon can be anywhere between 2 and 4 o'clock. That means you've had at least 2 hours after your afternoon meal, and at least an hour to 2 hours before your evening consumption of a meal. But somewhere in the afternoon, either 2, 3, or 4, and I suspect really 3 or 4 would be better for most people. 3 is ideal. Just do it at the top of the hour, 3 o'clock, every day for 6 days, and then like 7 o'clock in the morning, 6:30, whenever you wake up. But make sure you're consistent within a half hour, either before or after that reading. Get that routine for the first time you take it, and do not miss it. And then at the end of 6 days, you'll have 12 readings to add up. Add them all up and then divide them by 12, because they're not going to all be identically the same. And what you're going to find is that when you do that, that average number is your average daily bodily temperature. Now, if that temperature is 99 to 97, that's normal. That's normal. 96 to 95, you've got a sluggish thyroid, which means you're probably iodine deficient. And if you're 94 or lower, you actually have a disease called Hashimoto's, which is not only a severely collapsed and impaired thyroid functioning gland, but it's also a total collapse of your adrenals. you're so tired, you're so fatigued, you lay in bed, you're depressed all the time. Your body chemistry is so way out of whack because the body temperature is so low, you can no longer carry out normal, adequate cellular functioning processes. Body temperature that low, man, you're like living on a different planet. Your memory shot, you're always depressed, you're always thinking negative. You ache all over, your body hurts. It's just like, holy crap, do I even really want to live another day? And trust me, it is this bad for the women that actually truly do have Hashimoto's disease. I work with Miss Tennessee and Gloria Chatham, a gal that went through all of this, and she introduced me to Miss Tennessee. Miss Tennessee used her format to actually create a Hashimoto's treatment center in Memphis, Tennessee. And to this very day, she still has that treatment center, and that's what she does for her life's work. And it's one of the very few Hashimoto's treatment centers in the United States that's recognized by medicine. So it's very advanced, but that's one of the first things I learned in working and talking with these gals, is that you can very easily identify what's going on with your thyroid and iodine just by doing that 6-day temperature test.
Okay, one final question.
Go ahead.
For a person where the uterus has been removed, now the endometriosis has to do with the uterine wall hardening.
Correct.
The uterus is, however, there are ovaries still there, so the growth of the endometriosis still continues? That's a question. Does it continue?
It can go beyond and start to affect the ovaries. It did in my daughter. It did in Sharon. It did in Linda Walfo. It did in just about all the women that I knew. That's going to come about another. And your gynecologist will even tell you. They recommend doing a full hysterectomy, not a partial. And that's what you're just talking about. Remove the uterine wall, but leave the ovaries behind. Because in cases of moderate to severe endometriosis, you're going to be going in after those ovaries in less than 2 years. Because you've just taken out the barrier for what absorbed all of that effect, the uterus. Now you take that out, you still haven't changed that chemistry. Now where does that effect go? There's only ovaries left for it to go. So, yeah, that's the sad progression part of all of that. But eventually it will get into affecting your ovaries. So if you do have any children, if you want to do any kind of in vitro fertilization and that kind of stuff, you better do it real fast because you usually only have 2 to 3 years at best, and then you're going to be removing your ovaries because you've got severe cyst development. And they become very hurtful as well when they start to harden your ovaries.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate the information.
You're absolutely. Very welcome. There was a gentleman on the line. Somebody had tried to ask a question earlier.
Yeah, this is Ron from Texas.
Hey, Ron. Happy New Year.
Hey, thank you. Hey, I got a question. I agree with you about the vaccinations. I've never been a believer in vaccinations. However, I do have one question about a vaccination, one that I haven't had in about 30 years, and I've been debating over whether to get it or not. And that's a tetanus shot. What's your thoughts on a tetanus shot?
Tetanus is different. I've had tetanus shots before. Burned the bottom of my feet. I think I was just crying a few weeks ago about that and how that's affected my life in such a negative way. First thing I did when I went to the doctor's office and after I saw my pictures up in my bed that night, I went to the doctor and first thing I did is got a tetanus shot. I can't find anything that is like Down syndrome or anything else that has any kind of an adverse reaction to a tetanus. And I could never find any information that has any adverse information about a tetanus shot. That being said, that is the only thing that I would ever go and allow be injected into my body. Because pretty much tetanus, the way it's made, it's all from the same couple manufacturers, and there are only two of them that I've ever known that actually make tetanus vaccine, regardless of who distributes it or administers it. It's not like a viral vaccine where you got them being made all over the world in different countries, and God knows how they're making them and putting them together and what else is going in there, stabilizers and all that other kind of nonsense stuff. So tetanus, I would not be afraid of a tetanus shot because I'm speaking from personal experience. I stepped on a rusty nail when I was a teenager, had a tetanus shot, cut myself really severely one time out hunting, and my knife had a lot of rust and stuff on it, as well as I got caught in a barbed fence that was just rusty as all get out. So I've had probably 4 or 5 tetanus shots in my life.
Okay, well, last time I went to my physical, my doctor asked me when's the last time I had one. I was like, well, probably 30, 35 years ago.
Right. Well, but again, I'll go back. The only time I've ever had a tetanus shot is to try to prevent an infection from a rusty nail or rusty knife or some kind of open wound like my feet and stuff. I don't go get a tetanus shot as a precaution, like the measles shot. Well, I'll get it because somehow it's going to build up my immune system. I don't go in for a tetanus shot unless I actually have to. Yours is kind of a preventative maintenance, and I'll leave that up to you. I mean, there's nothing that I can say negative about it because, like I said, I've had at least 4. I think I've had 5 tetanus shots over my life, and I've never, ever had a bad response or anything like that to tetanus. So
yeah, they recommend them every 7 years now, but I'm kind of like you. I was kind of waiting until something happened before I got it. But
Right. You know. Yeah, for me and my life personally, I think that's just a good idea, and that's the way I'd run my life. I don't, even hearing you say that, I don't think I'd be going in every 7 years to get a booster tetanus shot.
Right. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have any?
Can I interject really quick about the tetanus shot? I'm curious, since you got one recently, were you able to get tetanus on its own, or was it the Tdap or the Dtap?
Pertussis. No, I just got tetanus on its own.
I'm not sure.
Mine was just strictly a tetanus shot because I asked the doctor specifically about that. There's nothing else in there, is this? And he said, no, it's just that.
Okay, I'm completely anti-vaccine, and I read all the, I have young children, so I hear all the horror stories, and many people have died, especially children, from the Tdap, along with personal experience of 2 people I know whose children were diagnosed with leukemia shortly after the Tdap. So, I've done a lot of research on the tetanus. I'm not sure that it is available solo. I'd have to, look it up, and I would definitely want to see the packaging, for the last person.
Because like I said, I asked that doctor for the pamphlet of the shot he was giving me, and it was just tetanus. That's the only thing that was on there.
Okay, and also just so that everyone knows, tetanus cannot survive in an anaerobic. As soon as oxygen gets in, it you can't get tetanus. So if it bleeds, if a wound bleeds, you can't get tetanus. That's where the rusty nail came from.
Right.
That it's a deep puncture wound that doesn't bleed. And so there's a lot of misconception about tetanus. And so,
right.
I'm so fearful of any vaccination. First of all, we don't know where they're made right now. A lot of them are made in China.
That's
and
absolutely.
We don't know.
That's what I was just saying earlier. God knows where out in the world that shot come from. It's being administered right here in the United States. I know of at least 30 countries that are associated with the Institutes of Health, and worse yet, the United Nations has got their ugly, dirty, extended arm in all of this as well.
Yeah.
So. All right. Anybody else have any questions, comments for the call? By the way, thank you for the gal that was talking about that. Appreciate that.
Ron.
Yes.
Ron, this is Steve. Yes, I have something to add about the tetanus discussion.
Okay.
And, this comes from probably the person on the planet who's the most researched about vaccines, and that would be Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And she's a medical doctor. She was just, a traditional doctor, believed in vaccines. Eventually, she learned better, and so right now she's actually kind of almost an international crusader. She was actually prevented from visiting, I think it was Australia or someplace over there, just on a personal visit because they didn't want her to be talking about vaccines. It's kind of hilarious how that industry worked. But she did talk at length about tetanus And she has a segment that she does on the Robert Scott Bell Show called The Science Bites. They don't want to say the word vaccine and get it banned, so they just call it The Science Bites. And so if you go to robertscottbell.com and just scroll down, you'll see that a link there to go to the The Science Bites, where they've separated out that part of the two-hour radio show, just a little 30 minutes or so that she did. And so they've got all of her different vaccine discussions that she does about every couple of weeks. And episode 13 and 14, the two at the very end, are about the tetanus shot that was from November 12th and 19th of 2019. And currently, yeah, the shot is mostly, maybe only, available in that Tdap form, not just the individual. And second of all, the research showed that, yeah, there was a lot of adverse reactions, you know, kind of a paralysis or partial paralysis. Mm-hmm. I remember as a child, you know, I had stepped on some glass or something, and, of course, my dad takes me and gets a shot. And after that, it's like, man, I couldn't even lift my arm. It hurt so bad. So I believe that probably is a valid reaction that you get to it. And the other thing is that tetanus, the actual, you know, pathogen, it lives on feces. So a rusty nail or a piece of glass does not necessarily, you know, it's, you're not really in danger of getting tetanus because it would have to be covered in some kind of feces. If you're around a farm, yeah, that's more likely, you know, you're going to step into something. But otherwise, not that much to worry about. And then the other thing is that if you did actually get tetanus.
Let me just correct you there.
Okay.
Samantha's father, my wife from the Philippines, her father died the first year she came to America, which was in Labor Day of 2005. He died because he stepped on a rusty nail. And he didn't have a tetanus shot. But that's why he died, was from tetanus. So to say you have to have feces and all that other stuff around it, that rusty nail was off the back of their porch, and they don't have animals off of their porch or anything. So I don't know that you have to have feces in order to die from a rusty nail, because that his death kind of contradicts that. So I just wanted to just bring that.
Yeah, that would contradict it. That's the first I've ever heard of such a thing. But you know, do your own research, of course. I mean,
right.
Who knows? Maybe there was another cause, and that's what they attribute it to. You know, there can be errors. Medical errors are not unheard of.
Right.
But anyway,
well,
the other
means.
Well, there's just a couple of little points here. Let's see. So where was I? There was also the frequency that you might need it. If you actually did get the shot, they found out that it was effective a lot longer than they thought, and the official recommendations were actually, you know, reduced. Like, don't get it so often. I mean, they quietly said that, but it's actually even acknowledged because of those potential adverse effects. And then finally, the part that about if you did get infected with tetanus and then you go get a shot, you're dead already, because the tetanus shot can't cure tetanus. It would take a couple of weeks, but to have any effect, and by then you'd be dead. And then the last thing is that actually that's not totally true, because there are ways to deal with the tetanus virus. I don't remember from listening to that last episode, but it might have been maybe high dose vitamin C or something else. There are other methods that actually do deal with the virus, so you're not necessarily dependent on just this one, you know, silver bullet shot. So I would encourage people, go to robertscottbell.com. Look for that V Science Bites link, and it's really interesting if you have an interest in vaccine facts. Now, she does not give opinion. She actually has everything, you know, totally referenced, uses CDC data, uses medical studies. Nothing is of an opinionated nature, so she's extremely thorough. So, great resource.
Yeah, like I said, if you know where to go and you do enough research, like myself, I know where to go to dig deep where the average person, even the average medical doctor, isn't going to know where to dig deep enough to find all of this evidence. But it's out there. If you do research on a regular basis, you know where to go. Boy, you can just come up with all kinds of stuff to support your your viewpoints. And it doesn't have to be opinion related. There's so much statistics out there that'll support what you're talking about. You just got to know where to go and how to do in-depth research. And that's challenging for a lot of people, especially me, because I'm not that computer literate. So I struggle going here to there, linking all the links. But that was my passion for 30 years. I mean, I just loved research. And I love proving people wrong. I love helping people live a much better path to life and health. This life is worth living, but it's not worth crap if you got to do it diseased and ill and your body's in pain all the time and stuff like that. So, well, appreciate that, Steve. Anybody else have any last-minute comments, questions for the call tonight? Anybody? Okay. Dober, do you have anything that you wanted to contribute before we close it out?
Well, there's a lot, Ron, but I'll be mindful of people's time tonight. But a great call. I don't know where you, it's first time again, once again, years, first time I heard about this, 6-day temperature thyroid deal and iodine. So that was just like aha moment for me. So thank you. Great call.
Yeah. I just think everybody should do that at least once to twice a year, especially the spring going in the summer and the fall going into the winter time. Get your body set up to where you're not going to be compromised in your body's ability to function because of temperature, because of an iodine deficiency. It's not that hard to do, and you don't even have to go to the medical system 9 times out of 10 to get accurate readings and stuff like that. So I just wanted to thank everybody on the call tonight. And like I said, please don't buy into all this hysteria, pandemic nonsense and crap that's being perpetuated all over national television. Because it just, I guarantee you, come April, May, when it's all said and done, I don't think anybody in America is going to even have one death. And like I said, there's only 7 in the country of China out of over 540 cases that have been diagnosed now, 7. So there's no high risk to it whatsoever, but media's got to find something to talk about and get everybody all worked up about. But don't let it be you. So with that being said, great call tonight, everybody. Thank you all so much.